Welcome to Zichu Daf Sim. My name is Avram Goldar, and today Maseches Bava Metzia, Daf Tes Vav. The first parak, Shneim Ochsin. This parak has been dedicated to the memory of Mr. Moshe Horn, Rav Moshe Manes ben Yaakov Yitzchak, by his children, Dvorah and Dov Elias. May his neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Shmuel said, Bal Chov Goves HaShavach. The seller's creditor collects the improvements the buyer made to the land and does not pay for them. Rava demonstrates this from the fact that the seller initially writes that he accepts to compensate the buyer for any loss of the field, his expenditures in the field, and its improvements. Because the buyer will be compensated for the improvements, the creditor can collect them without paying for them. Rav Chiya bar Avin asks Rava that if so, then regarding a gift which does not usually include this guarantee, would we say that the creditor cannot collect the improvements since the recipient will not be compensated for them? Rava agreed, and when Rav Chiya bar Avin asked him if it's possible that a gift strength should be greater than a sales, he replied, "Ein yafa v'yafa." Yes, it's definitely stronger regarding this law. Point number two, the Gemara says, if the buyer recognized that the property was not the seller's, Rav says, Maus yesho shevach inlo. He has a right to demand the money he paid for the property, but does not have a right to compensation for improvements he made in the land. Shmuel says, Afil maus inlo. He does not even have the right to demand the money he paid for it. Rav holds the buyer knows the sale is ineffective, and he gave the money to be a pikadon by the seller. He didn't say so explicitly because he thought the seller would not agree to guard it. Shmuel holds that because the buyer knows the sale is ineffective, we assume he gave the money l'shum matana as a gift to the seller, without saying so explicitly because he thought the seller would not accept it. Rav and Shmuel argue similarly regarding money given as kedushin to one's sister, and the Gemara explains the novelty of each machlokas. The Gemara then explains how the buyer, who knows the seller, did not own the field, takes the liberty to work it and consume its produce. And point number three, Shmuel asks Rav, Chazu okalchem mibam harishoni mahu. If the robber, after selling, so to speak, the field, came back and bought it from the original owner, what is the halacha? Can he take possession of the land from the buyer, just like the legitimate owner could have done? He replied, Mamachu arishon l'sheni. What did the first one, referring to the robber, sell to the second one, referring to the buyer? Kol zchus shetavu liyado, any right which will come into his possession. His subsequent purchase of the property was intended to obtain it for the buyer. Marzutra says, Nichole do a nikre gazlana. He wants that the buyer should not call him a robber for selling him stolen land, so he bought it for him. Ravashi says he wants to keep his credibility. The Gemara eventually says a nafka mina would be where he originally gave the stolen land as a gift to someone. Here too, he would want to maintain his reputation for honesty, but he's not concerned about being called a gazlan since he caused no loss to the recipient who didn't pay for it. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Shmuel said, Bal Chov Goves HaShavach, the seller's creditor, collects the improvements the buyer made to the land and does not pay for them. Rava demonstrates this from the fact that the seller initially writes that he accepts to compensate the buyer for any loss of the field, his expenditures in the field, and its improvements. Because the buyer will be compensated for the improvements, the creditor can collect them without paying for them. Rav Chiya bar Avin asks Rava that if so, then regarding a gift which does not usually include this guarantee, would we say that the creditor cannot collect the improvements since the recipient will not be compensated for them? Rava agreed, and when Rav Chiya bar Avin asked him if it's possible that a gift strength should be greater than a sales, he replied, Ein yafa v'yafa. Yes, it's definitely stronger regarding this law. Point number two, the Gemara says, if the buyer recognized that the property was not the seller's, Rav says, Maus yesho shevach inlo. He has a right to demand the money he paid for the property, but does not have a right to compensation for improvements he made in the land. Shmuel says, Afil maus inlo. He does not even have the right to demand the money he paid for it. Rav holds the buyer knows the sale is ineffective, and he gave the money to be a pikadon by the seller. He didn't say so explicitly because he thought the seller would not agree to guard it. Shmuel holds that because the buyer knows the sale is ineffective, we assume he gave the money l'shum matana as a gift to the seller, without saying so explicitly because he thought the seller would not accept it. Rav and Shmuel argue similarly regarding money given as kedushin to one's sister, and the Gemara explains the novelty of each machlokas. The Gemara then explains how the buyer, who knows the seller, did not own the field, takes the liberty to work it and consume its produce. And point number three, Shmuel asked Rav, Chazu okalchem mibam harishoni mahu. If the robber, after selling, so to speak, the field, came back and bought it from the original owner, what is the halacha? Can he take possession of the land from the buyer, just like the legitimate owner could have done? He replied, Mamachu arishon l'sheni. What did the first one, referring to the robber, sell to the second one, referring to the buyer? Kol zchus shetavu liyado, any right which will come into his possession. His subsequent purchase of the property was intended to obtain it for the buyer. Marzutra says, Nichole do a nikre gazwana. He wants that the buyer should not call him a robber for selling him stolen land, so he bought it for him. Ravashi says he wants to keep his credibility. The Gemara eventually says a nafka mina would be where he originally gave the stolen land as a gift to someone. Here too, he would want to maintain his reputation for honesty, but he's not concerned about being called a gazlan since he caused no loss to the recipient who didn't pay for it. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Tezvav, and our standard Siman is a fruit bowl because Tezvav reminds us of Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat reminds us of fruit, and we use a fruit bowl to make the Siman a little more distinctive. So here goes. The seller's Baal Chov, who was so delighted that he didn't have to pay for the improvements to a field he collected that the buyer made, that he placed fruit bowls all over it, wondered why someone bought the neighbor's property knowing the seller didn't own it, and then why the deceitful seller came and purchased the field from the original owner. Once again, it's a motion. The seller's Baal Chov, who was so delighted that he didn't have to pay for the improvements to a field he collected that the buyer made, that he placed fruit bowls all over it. Fruit bowls? That must be on Daf Tezvav, Tu B'Shvat. The seller's Baal Chov, who was so delighted that he didn't have to pay for the improvements to a field he collected that the buyer made, that he placed fruit bowls all over it, which reminds us, Shmuel said, Baal Chov goves ha-shevach. The seller's creditor collects the improvements the buyer made to the land and does not pay for them. Rava demonstrates this from the fact that the seller initially writes that he accepts to compensate the buyer for any loss of the field, his expenditures in the field, and its improvements. Because the buyer will be compensated for the improvements, the creditor can collect them without paying for them. Rava says regarding a gift where there's no guarantee given, the Baal Chov would not get the improvements. So the seller's Baal Chov, who was so delighted they didn't have to pay for the improvements to a field he collected that the buyer made, that he placed fruit bowls all over it, wondered why someone bought the neighbor's property knowing the seller didn't own it, which reminds us, the Gemara says that if the buyer recognized that the property was not the seller's, Rav says, Maoz Yesho Shevach Enlo, he has a right to demand the money he paid for the property, but does not have a right to compensation for improvements he made in the field. Shmuel says, Afilo Maoz Enlo, he does not even have the right to demand the money he paid for it. Rav holds the buyer knows the sale is ineffective, and he gave the money to be a pikadon by the seller. He didn't say so explicitly because he thought the seller would not agree to guard it. Shmuel holds that because the buyer knows the sale is ineffective, we assume he gave the money as a matana to the seller, without saying so explicitly because he thought the seller would not accept it. So the seller's Baal Chov, who was so delighted that he didn't have to pay for the improvements to a field he collected that the buyer made, that he placed fruit bowls all over it, wondered why someone bought the neighbor's property knowing the seller didn't own it, and then why the deceitful seller came and purchased the field from the original owner, which reminds us, Shmuel asked, if the gazlan, after selling, so to speak, the field, came back and purchased it from its original owner, what is the lachi? Can he take possession of the land from the purchaser, just like the legitimate owner could have done? He replied, what did the gazlan sell to the buyer? Kol zchus shetavu liyado, any right which will come into his possession. His subsequent purchase of the property was intended to obtain it for the purchaser. Two reasons are given. One, he doesn't want the buyer to call him a robber for selling him stolen land, or he wants to keep his credibility. So once again, the seller's Baal Chov, who was so delighted that he didn't have to pay for the improvements to a field he collected that the buyer made, that he placed fruit bowls all over it, wondered why someone bought the neighbor's property knowing the seller didn't own it, and then why the deceitful seller came and purchased the field from the original owner. All right, so now it's time for four blah blah chazar. Daf Yud Alef. So the symbol for Daf Yud Alef is stars like the 11 stars in Yosef's dream. So here goes. The field owner wearing overalls covered in stars. Stars? That must be more on Daf Yud Alef. The field owner wearing overalls covered in stars standing by his open field, who said when he saw people trying to catch lame deer running through his field, Zakzali Sadi, which reminds us, the next mission states, if one saw people running after a find to acquire it, or after a lame deer, or after young pigeons that can't fly, but Amar Zakzali Sadi, and he said, my field has acquired it for me, Zakzalo, it has acquired it for him, since they cannot escape his field. If a deer was running normally, or pigeons were flying, his chatzar could not acquire them. If you'd have said in Shmuel's name, V'husha Omen Mitzad Sedehu, his field acquires provided he's standing at the side of his field. So the field owner wearing overalls covered in stars standing by his open field, who said when he saw people trying to catch lame deer running through his field, Zakzui Sadi, saw a bow with a huge star painted on its sail where a rabbi figured out how to give Maaser Rishon on his field to his Levi friend using Kinyan Aga, which reminds us, the more brings the Maaser Rabbi Gamliel and Asfina and giving Maaser produce that he'll take in the future in his field to Rabbi Yeshua by renting him the spot where the Maaser would be found. This works via Kinyan Agav and doesn't require Rabbi Yeshua to be by the field. So the field owner wearing overalls covered in stars, standing by his open field, who said when he saw people trying to catch a lame deer running through his field, Zakzali Sadi, saw a boat with a huge star painted on its sail, or a rabbi figured out how to give Maaser Rishon on his field to his Levi friend using Kinyan Agav, without realizing the boat's name was Das Acheres Machne, which reminds us, Rapapa explains differently how the sages acquired Rabbi Gamliel's Meiser without standing near his field. Das Acheres Machne Meisen Shani. It's different when another mind, meaning a person, transfers ownership of them to the recipient, and he can acquire even without standing near the Chatzir. Daf Yud Beis. So the Simran Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. When the eldest of 12 brothers, that must mean we're on Daf Yud Beis. When the eldest of 12 brothers threw his hefker wallet through his neighbor's back door, and it flew out the front door, which reminds us, Rava asked, Zark Arniki Bepesach Zevi Yatsa Bepesach Acher, if someone threw a purse in this doorway, and it went out another doorway, does the homeowner acquire it? Avir She'en Sofu L'Nuach, is something in airspace in which it's not destined to come to rest, K'munach Nami, or lo, is it considered like it's at rest in that place, or not? So when the eldest of 12 brothers threw his hefker wallet through his neighbor's back door, and it flew out the front door, his little brother found it and was going to quickly bring it to his father, which reminds us, the next mission states, Metzias Beno Bito Katanim, the find of one's minor son or daughter, as well as his Eved Kanani and wife, belongs to him. The find of his adult children, an Eved Ivri, and divorced wife, belongs to them. Shmuel explained why Katan's find belongs to his father. Shebesha Shemotza, because when he finds something, Meritza Eitzel Avi Ve'enu Ma'achar B'yado, he quickly brings it to his father and does not let it delay in his hand. The Gemara says this proves that Shmuel holds Katan Leisle Zechil and Nafshim in Deraisa. A minor does not have independent acquisition biblically, only under rabbinical law. Had his ability to acquire been biblical, this reason would not have been sufficient to give the fine to his father. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba defines Katan Gadol in terms of whether one is supported by their father or not, regardless of age. So when the eldest of 12 brothers threw his hefker wallet through his neighbor's back door, and it flew out the front door, his little brother found it and was going to quickly bring it to his father, who just found a shtar sheyesh bo achrayis, but did not return it to the lender, despite the borrower admitting he owed the money, because perhaps it was written in Nisan, but not given until Tishrei, which reminds us, a shtar which is found is not returned when there's a property lien on it, even when the debtor admits its own, because we're concerned the shtar was written in Nisan, the recorded date, and not given until Tishrei, for example, leading basin to unlawfully collect from those who purchased land from him before Tishrei. So once again, when the eldest of 12 brothers threw his hefker wallet through his neighbor's back door, and it flew out the front door, his little brother found it and was going to quickly bring it to his father, who just found a shtar sheyesh bo achrayis but did not return it to the lender despite the borrower admitting he owed the money, because perhaps it was written in Nisan, but not given until Tishrei. Daf Yud Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Yud Gimel is a bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. The bar mitzvah boy, that must be one Daf Yud Gimel. The bar mitzvah boy, who had been excited to sign as an aide for the very first time on a shtar, since witnesses' signatures on a shtar acquire a lien for the lender even before the loan, which reminds us, the Gemara asks why a loan document may be written for a potential borrower before the loan is issued, since they may collect from purchasers' properties from the date in the shtar earlier than the actual loan date. Rav Asi says only shtar hakna, documents of acquisition, may be written beforehand because the lien actually begins immediately even if the loan is never issued. Abaye answers, Eidu b'chasum of Zachimlo. The witnesses with their signatures acquire a lien for the lender at the time of signing, even before the loan. The Gemara clarifies, this principle only applies where the shtar reached the recipient's hand, whereby the transaction takes effect retroactively from signing. If the shtar was never given, its transaction does not take effect. So the bar mitzvah boy, who had been excited to sign as an aide for the very first time on a shtar, since witnesses' signatures on a shtar acquire a lien for the lender even before the loan, overheard a lobe and malva collude to collect from a buyer of land even after the debt was paid and split the gain. Which reminds us, Abaye could explain the reason a shtar with a property lien is not returned is the chayshu perion v'kununya, where Meir is concerned about possible payment and collusion. Perhaps the loan was actually paid up, and the debtor received and later lost the shtar. He may be falsely admitting that the debt is unpaid as a conspiracy with a creditor to collect the debt from buyers who purchase without a compensation guarantee against collection, which the conspirators will later divide between themselves. So the bar mitzvah boy, who had been excited to sign as an aide for the very first time on a shtar, since witnesses' signatures on a shtar require a lien from the lender even before the loan, overheard a lobe and malva collude to collect from a buyer of land even after the debt was paid and split the gain. Just as two rabbis walked by who both held Ein Choshesh L'Perion V'L'Kanunya, which reminds us, the Gemara explains how Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar, who both hold that we're not concerned for Perion V'L'Kanunya, understand the Melchokas and the Mishmi between Rimir and the Chachamim, and how their positions are eventually disproven. So once again, the bar mitzvah boy, who had been excited to sign as an aide for the very first time on a shtar, since witnesses' signatures on a shtar acquire a lien for the lender even before the loan, overheard a lobe and malva collude to collect from a buyer of land even after the debt was paid and split the gain. Just as two rabbis walked by who both held Ein Choshesh L'Perion V'L'Kanunya. Daf Yud Dalet. So the Siman Daf Yud Dalet is a Yad, and we often use a juggler in the Siman. So here goes. The expert juggler, that must mean on Daf Yud Dalet, Yud, hand. The expert juggler, who was so good that he distracted his sofer, forgot to write a chrys and a shtar for a loan, which reminds us the brights in the previous stuff taught that the rabbanon hold that even a shtar without a shibud may still be collected from sold properties. Shmuel explains that they hold a chrys is tohu soferhu. A guarantee is assumed to be the scribe's mistake when absent from the shtar and does not indicate that there's actually no property lien. The Gemara explains that Shmuel's statement pertains to loan documents. For a person does not give money for nothing, meaning since he does not benefit from the loan, he would not agree to lend without a guarantee of payment. So the expert juggler, who was so good that he distracted the sofer, forgot to write a chrys and a shtar for a loan, was trying to cheer up a man who just purchased a field without a chrys, which people said didn't belong to the seller, and was left holding a bag of nuts, which reminds us, Abai said that if Reuven was selling a field to Shimon without a guarantee of compensation, but Yatsu Aleha Asikin, and protest came forth about the land challenging Reuven's ownership, as long as Shimon has not taken possession of it nor paid for it, he can retract from the sale, which did not yet take effect. But once he took possession of it, the sale takes effect and he cannot retract, because Reuven can tell him, you were aware of and accepted a bag of nuts, meaning you agreed to purchase it without a guarantee. So the expert juggler, who was so good that he distracted his sofer, who forgot to write a chrys and a shtar for a loan, was trying to cheer up a man who just purchased a field without a chrys, which people said didn't belong to the seller, and was left holding a bag of nuts. And a buyer trying unsuccessfully to get compensated for the improvements he made in some land which the seller did not own, which reminds us. The Gemara says, a mocher sado l'chavero v'nimseh she'enu shalo. One sells a field, and it's discovered that it was not his, and its owner retakes the field. Rav says, yesh lo malus, the purchaser has a right to compensation from the seller for the money paid for the field, v'yesh lo shevach, and he's a right to compensation from him for improvements he made to the field. Shmuel says, malus yesh lo shevach ein lo. He has a right to compensation for money paid, but he does not have a right for compensation for his improvements. Rav Huna was asked, if the seller explicitly told him he would compensate him for the improvements, what's the halacha? The Gemara concludes that Shmuel's reason is, because there was no actual sale, since the field didn't belong to him, the money paid is a loan, and if the buyer collects more than he gave, mechzik haribus, it appears like receiving interest on the loan. So once again, the expert juggler, who is so good that he distracted a sofer, who forgot to write a chrys and a shtar for a loan, was trying to cheer up a man who just purchased a field without a chrys, which people said didn't belong to the seller, and was left holding a bag of nuts. And a buyer trying unsuccessfully to get compensated for the improvements he made in some land which the seller did not own. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which stuff do we learn? A chrys, tohu soferhu. That's on daf Yadalad. Good. Number 2, which stuff do we have a machlokas of? Kinyan chatzar is learned from yad or shlichus. That's on daf Yud. Good. Number 3, which stuff to discuss the case of one who bought property knowing the seller did not own it, and two explanations are given as to why he did it. That's on daf Tezvav. Good. Number 4, which stuff do the mice of Rav Gamliel in the boat enabling Rav Yeshua to acquire future mice of Rishon in his field via Kinyan Agav? That's on daf Yidalav. Good. Number 5, which stuff they learn Baal Chov Govas HaShevach? That's on daf Tezvav. Good. Number 6, which stuff they learn the find of a katan belongs to his father? That's on daf Yudbeis. Good. Number 7, which stuff they learn that one sold a field which was not his must pay shevach to the buyer? That's on daf Yadalad. Good. Number 8, which stuff they learn the question, if someone threw a purse in one doorway and it went out the other doorway, does the homeowner acquire it? That's on daf Yudbeis. Good. Number 9, which stuff to discuss what the din is if the gazan purchases the field from the owner after, so to speak, selling it? That's on daf Tezvav. Good. Number 10, which stuff they learn that aiding with their signatures acquire a lien from the lender at the time of signing, even before the loan? That's on daf Yud Gimel. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Rumgold from Zirchu, wishing you a great day and great learning.